I'd ask you to please turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 7, the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 7 and verse 13. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. That's page 1118. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. And the subject before us this morning is the narrow gate and the narrow way. Now, the Lord Jesus was preaching here on what is known as the Sermon on the Mount, a life-transforming message to his disciples, to many who were gathered around at the same time. A message which turned the Jewish religious thinking of the day upside down. It was a message to the mind. It was a message to the heart. And the Lord Jesus begins his sermon by stating the character of the Christian as it is set out in the Beatitudes. So if you turn with me again to Matthew chapter 5, I just want to read these Beatitudes just to remind ourselves of the way the Lord Jesus commenced his sermon. This is a very unusual way of commencing a sermon, you might say, in contemporary experience, where people tend to give a joke or give a story or give something positive for people to think about. Listen to how the Lord Jesus started his sermon. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So the Lord Jesus is explaining the experience, the heartfelt experience of the person, but also the positive outcome. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets who were before you. And so the Lord Jesus Christ commences his message, his sermon, by stating the character of the Christian in God's sight. And then he moves on to describe the characteristics of the Christian walk in the body of his sermon. And that takes us right the way through chapter 6, right into chapter 7, and up until our verse in verse 13 in chapter 7. So the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching that Christian living is first of all about having a right relationship with God. It is not about obeying a man-made list of rules and regulations, this for outward appearance only. To follow God, the heart must be changed. A totally new philosophy, perspective on life is required of you. Obedience to God's way, then, is a response to God's love in Christ Jesus to the needy sinner. And the mind and the heart is to be engaged. And this teaching of the Lord Jesus was so different from the religious leaders of the day. They taught an external obedience was sufficient, and they developed a huge manual of regulations. And it was so burdensome, so negative, so horizontal in its application. But their teaching had nothing to do with the heart. There was no spiritual content whatsoever. It was all based on the outward appearance. And so the Lord Jesus here was talking to a people who were burdened. They were bowed down by rules and regulations, striving to conform to man's religion. sinners whose hearts here were really in the world still, but were taught to appease their conscience by works. In reality, they were burdened, they were unhappy, they were enslaved, whose living had no joy or lasting purpose spiritually. But with the Lord Jesus, they listened to a preacher who was different, who was making an impact upon their heart. A preacher who understood their situation and helped them truthfully. There was something different about Jesus. He spoke with power to the mind and to the heart. And Jesus was a man who got to the root of the problem. He was absolutely true while being absolutely kind and absolutely sincere. The Lord Jesus preached to the inner being, the soul. And so it is that now, at exactly the right point in his sermon, Jesus extends his authoritative invitation, enter by the narrow gate. So let us look at the giver of this invitation then. Enter by the narrow gate. Well, the giver of the invitation is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, made man. He is none other than the light of the world. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the all-sufficient Savior. He is able to save unto the uttermost. He is the perfect fulfiller of God's law. He is absolutely, totally sinless. The only sin that Christ was connected with was that which he bore the punishment for upon Calvary's cross. And he took that upon himself willingly and lovingly and sacrificially to do what we couldn't do, to make atonement for our sin before God. He is then the perfect peacemaker. He's the victorious Lord. He rose from the grave on the third day, victorious over sin and death and hell. He's ascended up on high. He's at the Father's right hand. He's ever living to make intercession for needy sinners this morning. Jesus is the gate through which we must enter to be saved, to walk in the narrow way. There is no other entrance. There's no other entrance this morning. Enter by the narrow gate. But what of the authority of the invitation? Now, respect for an authoritative invitation depends upon its giver. There's no higher authority than God. And God says to us this morning, enter by the narrow gate. Here is the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, as the perfect man, speaking perfect truth. What of its value? Oh, there's no depreciation to the value of this command and invitation, because it has an eternal consequence. If we enter through the narrow gate and onto the narrow way, there's only one way that this leads to: heaven. What about its purpose then? Its purpose is to guide you to the way of peace, to guide you to heaven, and at the same time, most importantly, to glorify God. What about the grace of this invitation that's given to us, this command to enter by the narrow gate, this wonderful invitation? Well, it's full of grace. Now, it's eternally more wonderful than an invite to Buckingham Palace, because these invitations have to be earned. If you or I was to be invited to Buckingham Palace, it wouldn't be a grace invitation. It would be something that we have done. Some special service in particular area of life, some brave deed, some sporting feat, some huge donation. But this, friends, is an unmerited invite. It's a free grace invite. We don't have to pay anything at the gate. There's no charge being made at the gate. We don't have to earn the right to have an invitation to enter through the gate. It's full of grace to the unworthy. What about the love of the invitation? The Lord Jesus gives this invitation because he loves sinners. He's come to save sinners, and he knows that unless they enter through the narrow gate, they will be eternally lost. And so this invitation, this instruction here to enter by the narrow gate is an invitation, an instruction of understanding love, knowledgeable love, sacrificial love, because the Lord Jesus had made this statement before he went to Calvary. So he understood what the cost of this invitation would be. It would mean him dying on Calvary's cross to make all this real, to make all this absolutely true. It's an unbreakable invitation. It's unbreakable love, understandable love, knowledgeable love, sacrificial love. He invites sinners knowing all about them. Now, none of us would want all our past sins and present and future sins written on in a book for everyone to read, would we? But God has a book, as it were. He knows our life. He knows all about us. He knows all about the past, the present, and the future. And he comes this morning through his word and he says, enter by the narrow gate. Well, what about the motive of this invitation? It's an invitation to ensure the welfare of your soul, to deliver you from the way of destruction. Everything about this invitation of the gospel is pure, it's good, it's blessed, it's life-given, it's light. This is the essence of this invitation this morning. But what of this gate? It's called the narrow gate. Why is it so narrow? It isn't very, we might not say it's not a very positive thing to say, isn't it? Look, you must enter by the narrow gate. Why doesn't Jesus say, oh, this gate is so wide anyone can come through it? Well, anyone is invited to come through the narrow gate, but we must always remember it is a narrow gate. Entrance through the gate onto the narrow way can only be by repentance of our sin and faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You must be born again. You must be born again spiritually, given a new nature in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus tells us clearly, you cannot enter into God's way, clinging onto the baggage of the old way. Using picture language, he stands at the narrow gate. In fact, he is the gate to the narrow way. And at the gate, we must unburden a load of sin for Christ to deal with. All those complicated situations that disturb your mind, you come to this gate, which is the Lord Jesus, and you bow down before him and you say, Lord, I let it all go. Because only God can deal with this. I confess it before you. I repent of my sin. This is the only way we can find liberation this morning from the dominion of sin, by coming to the gate, by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's no excess baggage allowance through this gate. Some of you will recall in the flying around different parts of the world. If you go to some particular parts of the world, they have to allow 40 kilos for the flight for each person because they've historically wanted to take so much baggage with them. And sometimes I've seen 2 trolley loads of baggage in front of me of people pushing on the last ounce they can get through in the and baggage, and then they have to have told they've got excess baggage, and they have to move from one bag to another, and all this sort of business, all because they've got excess baggage. But there is no excess baggage allowed through the narrow gate. It's about trusting in Christ alone. It's not Christ plus your works, plus a bit of your own goodness and your own righteousness. It is Christ alone. This means that your pride and your self-will must be left at the gate. There's no room for pride. There's no room for self-interest. There's no room for focusing upon yourself as well as Christ. It's Christ alone. An independent spirit which relies upon self and not upon God must be left at the gate. Idolatry must be left at the gate. There's no place for your idols along the narrow way, because you are saved by grace and you're focusing upon Christ. A worldly humanistic philosophy of life must be left at the gate. Christ must be your wisdom, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The fear of man that brings a snare must be left at the gate. Because Jesus Christ is your security. He is your will give you a sense of well-being and whole being in Christ alone. A materialistic spirit must be left at the gate, because Christ is your all and in all. You may be tempted to think, oh, Pastor Bus, there's so many things that have got to be left behind. The narrow way ahead is so boring. However, the opposite is the case. I want to show you this morning by considering some aspects of this narrow way. In Christ alone, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be who go in it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. The narrow gate, the narrow or the difficult way. The narrow way then is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The narrow way is the way of life everlasting. The narrow way follows the word and the way of God. God's way of holiness. The narrow way is God's directed route that takes you ultimately to heaven. The narrow way is the only secure route for time and eternity. The leader knows what lays ahead. The narrow way following Jesus Christ is the way that has for its name peace with God. The narrow way is the only route in which you will grow spiritually and be prepared for heaven. The narrow way, God's way, is the only route then which leads to heaven. It's the route along which there is meaningful Christian service. It's the route along which we can constantly pray and rejoice in the Lord. It's the route along which we're often attacked by persecution and temptation, and we have to do battle with the old man, the old nature, the flesh, and this is why it's a difficult way. It's a way of absolute dependence upon God and upon the Spirit of God working within us and our walk with the Lord Jesus. It's not by nature, it's not by intellect, it's not by man's philosophy. It's about walking with the Lord Jesus. It's a way, route which we must courageously fight against sin and mortify the flesh. But despite the trials and the tribulations of the narrow way, as Matthew Henry said once, 1 hour in heaven will make amends for all. 1 hour in heaven will make amends for all. The narrow way is exactly what it says. In salvation, we come through the gate in Christ alone. But on this narrow, this difficult way to heaven, we find then we have to do battle with this indwelling sin and the flesh. There will constantly be things to battle with. But the Lord will help us, because there's not room on the narrow way for Christ and pride, for Christ and the world, for Christ and the flesh. There's not room on this narrow way. It's exactly what Jesus says it is. Yes, narrow, enter by the narrow gate. Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, difficult or narrow is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So we need to get this principle in our mind. It's a narrow gate, it's a narrow way, it's difficult because it goes against the flesh and against the world and the spirit of the world and all that is round about us, but the blessings are eternal. As the Lord Jesus said in the Beatitudes, in the characteristic of the Christian, yes, there is the negative, there is the difficult part, mourning, poor in spirit, persecution, the exercise of meekness, but then there's the blessings, the inheritance, the joy, the amazing prospect of heaven. But then in conclusion this morning, the Lord Jesus gives us two vital reasons why it is so important for you and for me to be in this narrow way this morning. The first reason is Christ's divine assessment of our state by nature. Wide is the gate, broad is the way. And what the Lord Jesus is describing here is the natural habitat state of the unbeliever. The natural habitat of the unbeliever. The unbeliever by nature, we travel in one direction to one destination. The characteristic of this gate and the way is that it is broad. Anyone can go through it. There are no questions answered or asked. Narrowness is absolutely not to do with this broad way. In fact, it's constantly resisted. Giving up your rights, dependent on Christ alone. This is not the way of the world. Oh, this broad way is the way of no restrictions, no conviction of sin, no barriers, no separation. This is the popular way. This is the might of the majority. You have plenty of company and friends on the broad way. Everyone doing their own thing. No questions asked. The second reason that Jesus gives for entering in at the narrow gate is because there is also not only a broad gate, which the unbeliever is its natural habitat, is going through and gone through, but this broad way that's after the gate. Notice this. This is a narrow gate and a narrow way, a broad gate and a broad way. So the gate comes first and then is the way of life. And this broad way carries you along. You don't have to make any effort on your part. There isn't any sacrifices to be made. There isn't any mortification of the flesh to be made. There isn't any fight against temptation. There isn't any fight against the devil. There isn't any fight and mourning over the sin, indwelling sin of your heart. It's just not part and pattern of this broad way. But Jesus said, this way leads to destruction. It leads to hell. The broad way leads to hell. Please remember that this morning. Always remember the outcome. Where is this leading you to? Where is this way leading you to? And the Lord Jesus, who is the absolute, who is absolute love. God is love. And the Lord Jesus is love. And the Lord Jesus is the one who is saying to us this morning, enter by the narrow gate, walk in the narrow way. And he's warning us because he loves sinners. That broad is this gate, and broad is this way that leads to destruction. You know, a while ago, we were watching this documentary, and it was showing some people rafting down some rapids. And there was a great excitement. But the documentary showed that as they were racing down these rapids, there was a sudden drop ahead. And they were unaware of this. They didn't go with any guide or anything. They just got in the rafts and had a fine time. And there was excitement. And you felt like screaming at the television, screaming at these people, look, you're heading to destruction. And they all had smiles on their faces. They had a fine time. But this film showed the end. And this is what Jesus is saying today through his word. This broad way, it leads to destruction. And one of the greatest dangers facing the church today is what we call easy believism. Distrust in the Lord Jesus and carry on living as you always have done. And ministers that say no, there is a narrow way, are accused of being legalistic. But the word of God says, if we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, a sacrifice needs to be made. These are not works by which we merit salvation. They are simply the response of obedience to the love of Christ in our hearts. Listen to the wisdom of the sons of Korah in Psalm 88. Shall your wonders be made known in the dark? I've never really stopped at that verse before, but I stopped at it on one morning this week. Shall your wonders be made known in the dark? We want to know the wonders of God. We want to know the wonders of fellowship with the Lord Jesus. They're not going to be found in the dark. They're not going to be found in a spirit of worldliness. And your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness. Well, Jesus, knowing the way ahead, warns us that this broad way leads to destruction. It's a wake-up call. And as the God the Father looks down from heaven, he sees billions of people on this road to destruction. And God in Christ Jesus calls us this morning to heed this warning. And those of us who are already in this narrow way, perhaps we've been beginning to collect some baggage and we've stopped and we're stumbling and we're not making any progress. And the problem is that we've taken on some baggage. And the Lord Jesus is saying to us this morning, let it go. Let it go. Laying aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus. This is the secret. Walking with the Lord Jesus. You see, the secret to walking on this narrow way is fellowship with the Lord Jesus. There's been a book written just recently by Dr. Stuart Olliott, and he was one of our tutors at Brenterian some years ago, and he was teaching on preaching. But he's written this book called Being Filled with the Spirit, and it's a very helpful book to read. It's not a very big book, but what he's explaining in this book is that actually to be filled with the Spirit, we must walk with the Lord Jesus, because he's the one who sent through the Father the Spirit to this, the Holy Spirit to this world. And the Holy Spirit's work is to point us to Christ, the real Christ to us. So if we want to be truly filled with the Spirit, we find its secret in Christ Jesus, walking with Christ. And there's not only a blessing then of being filled with the Spirit in Christ Jesus, but through Christ Jesus, we have fellowship with the Father. So the secret for us this morning in this narrow way is to walk with the Lord Jesus. That's the secret. And may it be so. God's narrow way in Jesus Christ leads to heaven. Satan or man's broad way leads to destruction, leads to hell. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ, just as you are. Look to him, trust in him, believe in him, follow him, and he will never leave you or forsake you.